This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
The Mets lost to the Diamondbacks again and have dropped a home series. The good news is Juan Soto hit two home runs. The good news is the Yankees can't lose a game tonight after losing two out of three to the Orioles. The bad news is all our local sports teams are off except for the New York Knicks. So the eyes are on the Knicks tonight in Detroit, 7:30 tip-off, trying to knock out the Pistons and advance to the second round. We're a few minutes away from a Cinco de Five-O, but let's get to some of your telephone calls. Rich is calling from Bethpage. How are you, Rich?
Hey, Evan. My question is, Juan Soto, his home run celebrations are very subdued, and the guy goes into the clubhouse right away. Does he have any friends on the team?
Yes, of course he does.
I saw him celebrating. I saw him doing the fake let's take a picture sign. Uh-huh. Why is this, and this is from Met fans. I don't know if Rich is a Met fan or not, but I've heard this from Met fans. Mm-hmm. This idea of psychoanalyzing Juan in that he's not celebrating enough, right. He doesn't look happy.
Yeah, I saw a social media post yesterday where it says Juan talks to everybody, talks to the fans, everybody, but he doesn't talk to his teammates. And I'm like, what does that mean? Where are you even getting that from?
I think it's this made-up thing. Now, right after this game, Juan Soto was asked a question about, hey, you had two home runs today. Did it relieve some of the pressure? Because he did sign a huge contract. He's with a new team. The Mets are winning. They're winning despite him. So take a listen to Soto's answer on, and you'll hear part of the question as well, in terms of, hey, does the two home runs almost relieve a little bit of the pressure you're facing?
Actually seeing results and getting, you know, first two home runs out of the way here, does that take any weight off of you? Any pressure off?
I mean, what pressure? I mean, I don't have any pressure. These guys, I mean, Mendoza has been really clear with me to make me feel comfortable and going out there and play. I don't have any pressure at all, so it's just two homers that weren't enough to get the win, so. Whatever.
Nah. Pressure? I'm paid. What are you talking about?
See, that's the kind of quote that a Met fan or a Yankee fan can take and spin however they want.
Right.
I can see the angry Met fan saying, you better have pressure on yourself. We paid you $800 million. Bah, 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 bah. You got paid? Shut up. You got that pressure. I like the answer because I think it's cool and calm. Like, I don't feel any pressure, man.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't feel any pressure right now. He's just, look, they're 21-11. It's not like they're desperate for Juan Soto to be their savior right now. Now, it would help because then they'd win games like this if he was hit more consistently, but he hit great in this game and they still lost. So what pressure are we talking about?
Pressure is only what you decide to put on yourself.
Yeah, I don't think there's pressure on Juan Soto.
And I hope
I think there's fan pressure, but not real pressure.
But even the fan pressure, like I mentioned earlier how I was getting texted by a buddy of mine saying, oh, Soto's hearing the boos. If we have to debate it, like we think we hear boos, we're not sure if we hear boos, then it's not really a thing. It's not like 35,000 people are booing the freaking guy.
Oh, yeah. If you're getting booed, you know it.
Right. If it's still a question, yeah, which it is, then are you really getting
right.
booed?
If you're really getting booed, you know it.
And
if
Sean,
no question.
Cite me on this because I very rarely do this. I don't get out of my seat. That's my thing. I sit in my seat. I'll get up. I'll get up with two strikes. I never get up. I got up in the ninth inning to give Juan a standing ovation.
You did.
I did.
You
do
stood
it.
Up and clapped, and you also got ignored at Jorginho for stepping in front of you during the Alonso at bat.
I was not thrilled with Jorginho because Jorginho, this was a girl wearing an Aaron Judge Yankee jersey to a Met game with the name Jorginho on the back. She stepped in front of me in the middle of the Soto at bat to like go to the bathroom.
Evan daggers stared through her. Like, are you kidding me?
Did we need a Jorginho stoner because we had another chance to hit it right at five.
We had another chance. I was too important. I had to make sure that people knew Evan was rude to a person in the crowd.
I wasn't rude. And by the way, a minute and a half late doesn't count as late. Here's your Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Certainly not on Coughlin time. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by
Helix. Yeah, I'm the anti-Coughlin. I go the other way.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. By Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. And by New Jersey Lottery. Anything can happen in Jersey. So, the New York Mets have lost two games in a row. But Juan Soto did hit two home runs. And it was close to this time yesterday, if you were listening. And if you were not, I will catch you up. A question was posed to our own positive Tommy Lugauer. If the Knicks advance, game six of the Celtics and Knicks will be the same night and same time as game one Subway Series Yankee Stadium. Where are you going, Tommy? And Tommy, without hesitation, said, what do you mean? Of course, where am I going? I'm going to be at the baseball game. And he was side-eyed by Knicks fans. So I thought about it all night.
Can I defend him? He then said, I didn't really hear the question. Let me hear the question again.
He did hear the question.
And then he went back and forth and said he'd be at the Garden. So he did eventually change his mind.
Yeah, and then didn't feel good about it. But I'm here to give you, especially if the Soto's two homers today, the five real reasons Tommy picked going to a Yankees-Mets game over a Knicks-Celtics game six. Mm. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
He himself wants to boo Juan Soto. He's not happy with that pressure answer. And if he does it at Yankee Stadium, it sounds like Yankee fans are doing it.
So it's a safe space for him?
Tommy, would you boo Juan Soto?
I would boo Juan Soto pretending to be a Yankee fan a la Evan, infiltrating in disguise.
Ah. Oh, that's... What is that? That's like a double...
It's a double reverse. It's a double swerve.
Double swerve.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Here we go.
Number four.
That's Vince Russo booking. Am I right, Tommy?
Definitely.
Hey, go ahead.
Tommy is so paranoid, he doesn't want to leave us three to be saying stuff behind his back at a baseball game.
That's what it is?
That should be number one.
What are we, the White Lotus Girls?
Yeah, that's what he thinks. All right, here we go.
Number three.
In his heart, Tommy believes the Knicks will lose to Boston in four or five. So in his mind, game six is never happening anyway.
I agree. I think that's number one.
That's probably the best
one. Yep.
Okay, well, here we go.
Number two.
In Tommy's mind, he doesn't even believe the Knicks are winning in this round. So therefore, there won't be a game six versus the Boston Celtics.
That actually might trump number three. All right. Yeah, I think you got the order correct.
And number one.
You better hit that out of the park here.
And number one is Tommy truly has always cared more about Yankee losses than he has Met or Knicks wins. And that's your Cinco
that's
de Fivo.
That's a good list right there.
That's solid fandom right there.
It is. Good job, Sean. Yeah. Cinco de Fivo every day at 5 o'clock. Now, this is going to continue, but out of respect to Sal. Sal's not here today. My prayers with Sal and his family. But we will continue to ask him if the NL East is over, but I'm not going to bother him while he's away. So I do have a replacement. I do have something we'll do instead at 5:05 instead of annoying Sal until he returns. I'm going to ask someone else a question every day at 5:05. Do you want to know what that question is?
Sure, tell me.
Good timing, Sean. Hey, Tommy.
Yeah.
If the Knicks and Celtics are playing a game six at Madison Square Garden the same night as Yankees-Mets, Yankee Stadium, Soto's return, what are you going to do and where are you going to go?
I appreciate you asking me that, Evan, because I tossed and turned all night after I said what I said on the air yesterday. I even got grief today when I walked in from Brandon Tierney, and it's just been eating at me because I felt like the answer I gave yesterday on the air was the wrong answer. I spoke out of just feeling like I was being attacked, like if I picked door number one, it would be, well, how could you possibly not be there, positive Tommy? You said you're big brother. So I was very defensive over my things that I've created. And I gave the wrong answer. Mm. The correct answer here at 5:05 is I will be at the Garden for Knicks-Celtics. It is bigger than a regular season game. In fact, that's Little Brother's World.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Series Yankee fans. So don't celebrate any of those wins because it doesn't matter. It's not really a World Series. It's just a regular season game. So enjoy the game. If you guys want to turn your back on Juan Soto, have at it. I'll be at the Garden.
And you needed BT to talk you into this?
No, I was already feeling that way. I even said it to him off air. I was already feeling that way. It was legitimately eating at me. I was like, I said the wrong thing on the radio.
Did Brandon give you the disappointed uncle look? Like,
yeah, he's like, bro, that's the absolute wrong answer. He did one of those, it's the Garden, and he walked out. I was like, I know that.
They were right. I feel bad for you, though, Tommy, because you were kind of blindsided by it. You're working too hard. You got too much going on back there. Sean's not helping you. You're in and out of the studio.
Yes,
you
correct.
Come right back in. You catch the tail end, maybe five words of the conversation, and they get immediately asked a question, and you have zero context. And so being a good radio host as well as a producer, executive producer of the show, you contributed. You contributed.
I
thought it wouldn't matter.
Now
Evan is trolling you for it.
No.
Evan's making fun of you for it. Evan's making a bit out of you for it.
Well, I'm just...
And he's your friend? I hate to meet your enemies, Tommy.
I'm just replacing the salmon.
Many men wish death upon me, I would say that.
I'm actually doing him a favor by asking it to him again. Huh? I could have just let it die and say, yeah, the guy picked Mets Yankees over Knicks Celtics. But this is a deeper issue, and this goes back to the beginning of the show. If you missed any of it, LOSNY, by the way, if you've missed any of it, go all the way back to 2 o'clock. We began this show by me needing to create a character for Knicks fans, which is Positive Evie, because I believe in the Knicks tonight. I do. I think they're going to close out the Pistons. I think they're advancing to the Eastern Conference semifinals for the third straight year. And the reason I believed I needed to create this character, A, honoring Positive Tommy, I give you a lot of credit for last year's Mets success, so my kudos to you, sir.
You got it.
But also because everybody around here, not that they're giving up, Teak,
yeah,
but they're down in the dumps, including Tommy. Like, I've looked into Tommy's eyes, and I see defeat. And the real reason, besides good radio host, he didn't really understand the question, besides all that, which is fair, is he doesn't believe in the New York Knicks. He doesn't believe in the Knicks tonight. He doesn't believe in the Knicks in a potential Game 7. And God knows, he doesn't believe in the Knicks in a best of 7 against the Celtics. So his answer came from deep in his soul, which is, there isn't going to be a Knicks-Celtics Game 6. So of course I'll be at the stadium. And that's why I'm here to help you. It isn't over yet. Jalen Brunson is the king for a reason. A year ago, almost to the date, he dropped 41 in a Game 6 after they lost the Game 5 at Madison Square Garden. Karl Anthony Towns has shown you a little bit of signs of the killer instinct, especially in Detroit. This series ends tonight. And if it ends in the definitive way I think it could, I think the optimism of Tommy comes back. I think the optimism of a lot of people around here comes back.
Right.
And you just need a reminder that you're better than the Pistons. And tonight you'll prove it. And you will start to believe again. And you may not say thank you to me, but deep in your soul, you will.
You know what, Evan? I've always said this. You're playing checkers. I'm playing chess. I got you to take the bait. I've always believed in the Knicks.
Oh, stop.
I've never quit on them.
Stop.
And you know why? That whole thing I just did there, nice acting, right? You know why I'm not going to be at Game 6 at the Garden? Because there's not going to be a game six. Because the Knicks are winning tonight. They're going to do damage. And they're going to beat the Celtics in five. And you could clip that digital team.
Okay. Sean. Sean.
Yeah, I'll cancel the catering for the Positive Tommy funeral if you want.
Do you want to reveal the private information you have about Tommy?
Oof. This is going to hurt, Tommy.
There was that one time in Vegas, and, you know,
Tommy,
it is what it is.
Sean has something to say to Tiki and the audience about Tommy Lou Gowen.
Tommy,
and him.
I'm going to pre-apologize to you.
Are you going to wrap me out here, bro?
Because it's going to be uncomfortable for the next hour between us, but I did go to Evan with something that happened. I didn't know he was going to do this here, so I'm sorry. When I came into work today, the first person I saw was Tommy, and I approached him in the newsroom, and I said, Tommy, look, it's a big Knicks game tonight.
Big Knicks game.
I'm giving you an opportunity after yesterday when you made the call and going to the baseball game. I think the Knicks fans need you. I think the Knicks fans need Positive Tommy. Mm. Tommy, do you want to do Cinco today and give us the five reasons on why you will lead the Knicks to victory tonight? And Tommy looked at me dead in the eyes like a chihuahua on hospice and said,
oddly specific.
And said,
I know.
With these sad eyes, I can't do that. I don't believe they're not winning the series.
Wow.
And now, 3 hours later, wow. you're pretending you acted?
Come on, Tommy.
I'm not calling Sean a liar, but you have absolutely no proof that that conversation took place.
It can't happen.
Well, you were there, Evan?
No, but I believe Sean. Mm-hmm. There are certain moments that I believe. You know what?
He said.
Here's what I will tell you. Here's how you can prove me wrong. Let's give him a reprieve. It's 5:11 on this beautiful Thursday. We are 2 hours away from Knicks basketball. How about an impromptu Cinco de Lugo from Tommy Lou Gower on why you will lead the Knicks to victory tonight?
That's a great idea, Evan, because if he really believes it,
he'll do it.
If he believed it with the urgency that he just said when he stood up and said, clip it, digital team, it should flow without you having to pre-plan it. Let's hear it, Tommy.
You want me to do the voices for 5-4?
Yeah, okay. I think that just makes it easier for me. Thank you.
Number five.
The moment will be too big for this Pistons team. This Knicks team is battle-tested. We saw it last year. Same scenario. They lose game five at home. They win game six in hostile territory. The moment was too big for the Sixers. It will be too big for the Pistons tonight, and a battle-tested Knicks team will get it done. They'll advance in the next round.
Number four.
That's a good one.
Mikal Bridges has heard all the trolling. He has heard all the noise from both Net fans and Knicks fans. Tonight, Mikal Bridges steps up, not only defensively, which he's been brilliant in this series, he will step up with big shots in the fourth quarter. This is his moment. This will define his legacy with the Knicks.
Number three.
Tibbs, I think this is a makeup situation. I think he realizes, even though he didn't want to admit it, he effed up the other night. He screwed up. He is the reason they lost, not calling the timeout. And he knows his ass is out of here. They're not firing the players. They may trade somebody, but he's gone if they lose this series. His legacy's on the line tonight. I think he will coach an A++ game and silence all the doubters.
Number two
is Karl Anthony Towns. Dare I say he's looked like Patrick Ewing in this series several times.
And good or bad?
No, in good, with those little fadeaways in the corner. Karl Anthony Towns and the Pistons have absolutely no answers for this guy, especially in the post. Karl Anthony Towns will dominate tonight in a Knicks victory.
Number one.
And number one is this. Sean, and you could write this one down too, and you could hang it up at the walls over there at the network where you came from. If you come at the king, you best not miss. Jalen Brunson is the king. Jalen Brunson will always be the king, and JB will drop 40 tonight in a Knicks victory.
It was a great list, and the reason I loved it so much is it's basically everything Positive Evie said at the top of the show.
You're the worst. You're the worst.
Thank you for that.
I give him credit, though. He stepped up. He stepped up. He almost made me believe it. You got to give him credit.
Almost made you believe it. Nah, you did a good job there, man.
I have to tell the audience this, and I don't think I'm saying anything that they don't already know. Evan and Sean, this is Christmas for them. Mm-hmm. Evan is drinking the tears, right, whether it's here at WFAN or our buddy CP the Franchise. He is, and he said this on the radio. He said, I'm going to let Knicks fans realize what I already know. And for a lot of Knicks fans out there, they are discovering things about this team that Evan already knew. And he is just a pig in you-know-what about all this stuff. So this is what I'm battling against, and I'm trying to, like, tell you what I honestly think, but also fight against these two knuckleheads who are part of the Coalition of Nicators.
So here's the reality. And I remember having these discussions when my teams are good. I hate game sixes. I hate game sevens. I hate the playoffs. I get very stressed. I don't like it. I hate it.
But it's not your team, so why do you hate it?
No, no.
Now, why do you care?
When it is my team, I hate it.
Oh, I hear you.
So when my team's involved, like I was busting balls with Jerry Ferrara on social media. He's a big Knicks fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to Jerry, oh, game sevens are fun. And he goes back at me and says, well, what do you know about game seven? I'm like, what the hell do I know about game seven? 2021 I know about, 2014, 2030. I got a lot of game sevens, and they're miserable. I hate them. I hate sports. Like, I love sports, but I hate sports. Like, last year's MLB postseason, I hated it. I don't like it. Tommy makes fun of me about that. I hate it. But what I realized is when it's not my team, it's joyful.
Right.
Because you're right, Teague. It's not that I don't care. Of course I care. I'm going to watch every second. I'm not stressed about it. And so it gives me a clearer vision of what I'm witnessing. And sometimes that's an advantage. And so, yeah, I'm enjoying the beauty of sport. I'm enjoying the fact that Knicks-Pistons has pound for pound been the best playoff series we've seen. Obviously in the East, not even close,
right,
but even in the West. And so, yes, I'm enjoying it. But I'm also trying to clear your visions here. I know you're down about Game 5. You're the better team. Jalen Brunson is the proven king. They will win tonight. They will win tonight. And if they don't, I guess we're going to Game 7.
Like, and by we, you mean Evan and me, Tommy Lugauer.
Oh, well, maybe you.
No. So what you're not hearing that Evan is clearly stating is we will win tonight. So if the Knicks win, the Knicks won.
Right.
If the Knicks lose, then Evan and Sean won. The other we... One.
I don't know
what you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
You know damn well what I'm talking about. Because you'll be toasting Field of Dreams whiskey.
There is
Evan, you have any thoughts on dinner? I'm thinking about Little Caesars tonight.
That's so funny that you say that. Me and my wife agreed. We're going to order Little Caesars pizza tonight.
I had the same idea with my wife.
Really?
That's happened.
See what I'm talking about?
It's good pizza.
No matter what happens,
either the Knicks or these two knuckleheads win.
100%.
By the way, I want to congratulate you. For Tiki's birthday, I bought him these Field of Dreams whiskey, which he had yesterday.
Delicious.
Field of Dreams heard us talking about it. They were real honored about it, and they said they wanted to send you another bottle.
Is this CeCe's bottle?
I have no idea.
Sean, I need some...
I got to look up another number.
You got to look up what number.
Yeah, the way they do it is they give you a number of the debuting player. So there's 23,000 players in MLB history. And you get a number. So, like, your number is 17,831.
That's this
so
one.
So that would be the one that they just gave me.
Right.
It's a, or gave you, not me.
Right.
It's affiliated with some Major League Baseball player in terms of them making their debut.
Give me the number
debut.
Again. Number again?
You're going to look it up?
Yeah, I got it. I'm ready to go.
17,831.
And the one that Evan originally bought me was 16,693.
Come on,
yes,
bro.
What?
You're smirking. This is a setup.
I have, what am I setting up?
This is not my bottle. This is the new bottle.
They sent a new bottle to Tiki because he enjoyed Field of Dreams. I don't know who the player is. Who is it? Rico Bronya?
CeCe Sabathia.
Is it really? You got a CeCe?
We got a CeCe.
You got a CeCe.
Now I have to get the... He doesn't drink anymore, so I can't give it to CeCe, but...
Now, don't give it to CeCe. You got to drink it in honor of CeCe, or you got to save it.
You know what I'm doing? I am saving this for when Tracy and I and our family go to Cooperstown.
Ah!
And I'm going to crack this open. I'll drink it. He won't. When he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That is very cool.
Awesome. Thank you, Field of Dreams.
Well, thank you. That's pretty cool. I had no idea it was going to be CeCe Sabathia. I thought it was just going to be a random player.
It's Joe Beamel, CeCe Sabathia, Scott Siebel, and Juan Uribe.
Oh, Juan Uribe.
Juan Uribe.
That's my guy.
Same day? They debuted on the same day?
April 8th, 2001.
How about that?
Dude, that's a day after my birthday, too.
How about that? Very, very cool.
2001.
2001. You're still playing in the league, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
How old was I in 2001?
You were 28 years old.
26.
Damn it. I was close.
You were coming off an NFC championship.
That is true.
That's right.
Let's go to Ronnie in Manhattan. How you doing today, Ronnie?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
I'm just going to join the positive, optimistic Knicks outlook. I'm just kind of waking up, logging on for work this morning. I said, you know what? I've been down in the dumps, just kind of glass ceiling, 0-9 against the elite teams. It's just kind of enjoying this Detroit series for what it is. But you know what? I'm going to take the historical insights and data that we have from the 2025 New York Mets so far. And Evan, just like you were saying on the weekend during the last season, let's worry about the Dodgers later. Right? I'm going to take that same positive ideology as a Knicks fan. I'm going to say, let's just worry about Boston later.
You're right.
Everybody thought that LA's pitching was going to be number one by a long shot. Well, guess who's in that spot? That would happen to be Fox. I don't know how sustainable it is, but right now, we're at the top of that.
I think that's the way you got to look at it, because if you go into Game 6 tonight thinking about Boston, like, you're not enjoying the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all know the Knicks are going to be major underdogs against the Celtics, but also a lot of crazy stuff happens in the NBA playoffs. Like, let me paint you a scenario. You win definitively tonight. You go into Detroit. You leave no doubt.
Right.
The ball movement's awesome. The defense is incredible. Jalen drops 38. Knicks win by 25. And now it's game one in Boston on Monday. You got three days off.
Feeling confident. Yeah. Feeling healthy. All the good things that you could talk about after winning a first-round series.
Absolutely. You're healthy. You're confident. You get 3 days off. And let's say in the first quarter against the Celtics, you get off to 20-4 lead. And all of a sudden, Jason Tatum's limping. Mm. Like, everything changes on a dime.
No, you're right.
No, I'm not betting on that.
Well, he wouldn't be limping because he has a wrist, right?
No, I'm saying something happens.
Something else happens.
Yeah,
right.
I was creating a new injury.
Well, I mean, that might be the only way.
Well, but that happens.
Of course, like, it happens.
You're right. If your point is the only way the Knicks are beating the Celtics is a Celtic injury, okay, well, guess what? Mm-hmm. It happens. Remember when Kevin Garnett got hurt in the middle of the playoffs a decade and a half ago? Like, dude, crap happens. Remember when Kevin Durant tore his Achilles in the middle of the NBA Finals? It happens.
Of course it does.
So I'm not betting on it to happen, but don't overthink your next opponent when you should enjoy what you could accomplish tonight, which is getting to the second round for the third consecutive year. We'll take more of your calls about this coming up. Knicks fans, how are we feeling? We're 2 hours away from tip-off. You got a chance to get to the next round. You're against the Piston team where you beat them in Detroit twice already. Aren't we feeling confident? 888-808-1019. I asked Sean and Tommy to put up a poll on their social media accounts just to see if the results would be the same, because Sean made the contention that there's more buzz in this town right now for the Mets than there is for the Knicks. And both of them put the poll up, same word, who has more buzz right now, Mets or Knicks? And I was just checking the results. It was 67% Mets with Sean, and it was 71% Mets with Loogie. So it was pretty uniform that people think there's more buzz for the Mets on May 1st, despite the back-to-back losses now, than the New York Knicks, who are playing a game 6 tonight against the Detroit Pistons. I think that changes if the Knicks win tonight and they can get to the next round.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we're talking Knicks-Celtics, a playoff series between two city rivals, and we haven't seen it in a decade. We haven't seen it. And by the way, speaking of Knicks-Celtics, I was going down the annals of Knicks history on when they've had 3-1 leads and they've lost game 5.
Yeah.
Not just 3-1 leads where they get the job done, but 3-1 leads where they've lost game 5. They've only blown one 3-1 lead in their team's history. And like I said earlier in the show, there's kind of an asterisk attached to it. That was the get-off-the-bench series against Miami, where they dealt with major suspensions in game 6 and game 7.
Hmm.
So while they did lose to the Heat in 6 and 7, I get it, it was mainly because you had star players not available in both games. So I'd be the first to tell you, yes, they blew a 3-1 lead. It's not your typical blown 3-1 lead. But in the other cases throughout their history, they have recovered.
Right.
Last year, when they lost Game 5 at Madison Square Garden to Philadelphia, they then recovered.
Mm-hmm.
When they lost to the Celtics a Game 5 at Madison Square Garden, they actually had a 3-0 lead in that series, but it got to 3-1, they lost Game 5. They recovered. They went to Boston, they won Game 6. The most famous one, this is before my time, but it is legendary. In 1973, against the sort of dynastic Celtics, they blew a 3-1 lead. And then won Game 7 in Boston, which is like nuts. They were the first team ever to blow a 3-1 lead and then win the seventh game on the road. So their history, at least.
But history doesn't tell you anything about what's going to happen in this series or this season.
So that was
so different.
So that was a waste of time.
No, I mean, it's interesting to know those things, especially
if
they don't blow them, because then it adds to it, history. But if they do blow it, it becomes, either way, if they blow this 3-1 lead, it becomes devastating. It becomes, I don't know, existential for Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, it becomes one of those big collapses in New York sports history. Don't worry, Sean. Yankees 3-0 will still be the leader. Like, you're not going to, this won't eclipse that. So
when did
still,
that happen?
Mm. That was 2004.
You wiped it from your memory?
I don't remember that at all.
Mm. Yeah, you did the Men in Black thing where you wiped it out of your head?
If you say so.
Yeah. This won't be number one, but it would certainly be up there, be in the conversation. But the good news is it's not going to happen. the Knicks are going to kick ass tonight?
I kind of think that. I think it's going to be a close game. And
let's go Knicks.
Right, you got to stop playing that stuff. Now it bothers me. Now that the games matter more, I don't want to hear myself saying, let's go Knicks. I don't really, that's not what I'm saying. Let's go to my neighbor, Robin Westchester. He knows me better than you, Tiki. He knows I'm not trolling. What's up, Rob?
What's up, Rob? He's trolling.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
He's definitely trolling.
Excellent. How are you? Good luck tonight to your Knicks.
Good.
I'm rooting for
you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm driving Robbie to basketball practice. Nice. My eight-year-old, he's in a full Knicks uniform, Jalen Brunson jersey. And he goes, let's call into Evan. He goes, I have a prediction on the Knicks tonight. So he's gonna say his prediction real quick, if you don't mind.
Let's hear it.
All right, hold on. What do you got, Robbie?
Knicks are gonna win by 40 points tonight.
40? Can I ask Robbie a question, Rob?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Hey Robbie, if tomorrow at the bus stop I gave you $100, I would just give you $100, would you say right now on the air, Knicks suck?
No.
Yeah.
Red suck.
That's my boy right there.
Good job. Good luck tonight.
That's loyalty right there.
That
you give him $1,000, he would still say no.
Well, I'm not offering $1,000 right now.
Good job. Well done, Robbie.
Good luck. Good luck at the basketball, and good luck with the Knicks tonight, man.
Thanks, guys. By the way, I think Evan deep down is secretly a Knicks fan, but we'll bring that up another day.
He does have season tickets, Rob.
He's not the first person to say that.
He does have season tickets.
That is not true. I am not a secret Knicks fan. But wow, he turned down $100.
Yeah.
I have, I think, a stat that's worthy today.
A stat that's worthy?
Yeah. You like research? I've been doing a little research on something.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Juan Soto, 2 home run games in his career.
Juan Soto.
Hear me out.
To this, but go ahead.
It'll tie in. Juan Soto obviously has the 2 home runs today. So yes. I did a little, how many 2 home run games did Juan Soto have last year? For the Yankees, he had a couple. The last time Juan Soto had a 2 home run game on the same day of a Knicks game.
Oh, don't tell me May 2nd.
Game 6 versus Indiana last year.
Oh, game 6 versus Indiana.
116-103, a Pacers win to force a game 7.
Which yeah, we remember the game. We don't need a recap.
So, Juan Soto, 2 home run game for your Mets.
Oh!
I mean, look, if there's synergy here, a game 6 with the Knicks leading 3-2 versus a team they were better than, just saying.
I thought he was going to reverse it and say it's when the Knicks beat the Sixers in Game 6.
No.
I didn't know it was going to turn into a negative stat.
I didn't know either. I was just trying to I'm like, man, is there any correspondence between Soto 2 home run games and Knicks playoffs?
But he was playing for the Yankees then.
He was.
Yeah. That's a different juju.
He was. And the Knicks were playing the Pacers, not the Pistons. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is if history holds true, since Juan hit 2 home runs today for the Mets.
Yeah, what are the odds of that? A Game 6?
That means the Knicks are going to lose tonight. And then at Madison Square Garden on a weekend, they will lose to attrition and then get a standing ovation.
Fair.
That's what you're predicting.
Stop, enough with the standing ovation. What I would say is whenever Marash, this is for the audience, this is for Evan, for the Sneaky, whenever Marash gives a stat, I would always fact check.
Okay, here's your fact check.
Because he right talks out of his ass.
It's right in front of your screen, fat face.
No, I don't see anything in front of your screen. Okay. I see an order for Uber.
Soto, okay. Yep, you give me that. Yep, okay.
No.
The 2 home runs
there. No, that's not the date. No.
It's right here.
Nope. I just looked at it. You made it up.
I made it up. I'm showing you both tabs. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine, Tommy.
One says 5/18 or 5/22, and the other one was, what was the date, 5/17?
5/18 or 5/18.
No, you made that up.
Now you're going to make me do the research.
Yeah, I know. I made the audience. It's homework. You love giving homework. He talked out of his fanny.
All right. Did the Yankees win that game?
The Yankees lost 4-2.
What?
No, you're lying.
No, they didn't.
To the White Sox.
No, they didn't.
The White Sox won 6 games last year.
Never mind. Hold on. 4-2 is his stats. I got to find the score.
Oh, okay. There's no way they lost 4-2.
He had 4 hits in that game. Okay.
How about that?
That would be eerie if the Yankees lost 4-2 that day, because, of course, the Mets lost 4-2 today. You let us know. John is in Asbury Park. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. What's up?
I just wanted to call in a little bit of a tangent here. I don't know if you guys saw, if you talked about it earlier, maybe I'm late to this, but I just read that Joe Micheletti is retiring.
We have not brought it up, so I'm glad you did. The great Joe Micheletti is walking away from broadcasting. Yeah.
I think it's crazy that, you know, obviously this is the big, you know, last hurrah tour for Sam Rosen. And I think deep down, obviously Joe knew this was going to be his last year too, but decided to just let, you know, Sam have, you know, that spotlight one more time. And, oh, it's kind of wild.
That's
the boys that I listened to growing up.
That's what I thought, too, because no one saw that coming, like Joe Micheletti retiring. So it seems like that was, because there, it's not a knock on Sam, because Sam had every right to obviously announce his retirement.
Yeah.
But there are some who announce their retirement and then that's it. Like, they don't want the hoopla that goes along with it. There's nothing wrong with wanting the hoopla.
Right.
Like, there was nothing wrong for Mariano Rivera wanting the hoopla or Derek Jeter and going through a retirement tour. So my guess is, I could be wrong, that Joe Micheletti just wanted to be quiet. Like, yeah, I'm retiring and that's it. But he's had a great career, broadcasted for the Islanders as well. I'm surprised. You're going to miss him, obviously, right, Sean?
A huge, huge void, losing both Rosen and Micheletti. I think at least Micheletti there would have eased the transition. That Kenny will do a good job, but this is crazy, man.
So, it's not the same, but I was thinking about this last night, Teague. So, obviously, the Lakers got eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And we all deserve L's for that. Like, I had the Lakers in the NBA Finals. You had the Lakers in the NBA Finals. We misread that so horribly wrong. My apologies.
I don't think because we don't watch them every day. I don't think we realized how washed up, in a sense, LeBron is. He's just not the same player.
He's not like,
and he's not bad.
Right. That's
he's just not LeBron.
Washed up is it's a weird term. Like,
it's washed up in LeBron sense.
Yes, he's not the same guy. He's targeted defensively. Like, he's not the same guy. So game ends, and all I could think about was, I want to hear what LeBron has to say. I do. And because here's what's going through my brain. Is this guy retiring? He's 40 years old.
Right.
He's won a lot. The odds are he's probably not winning again. I know they added Luka and all that. So I watched his entire press conference, and I gave him credit. He answered every question. He made some weird comments like, I'm not going to say anything because AD opened his mouth up, and they traded him, almost inferring like he didn't like the AD trade, or he's afraid if he says something wrong, he's going to get traded. But what I kept thinking about with LeBron is it possible that he would just quietly retire? Like, is it possible that LeBron in a month says, I'm out? And knowing his personality, there's no way. Like, he's going to do a whole retirement tour. It's going to be obnoxious. Again, nothing wrong with it. He has every right to do it. And he's going to be celebrated for an entire year.
Yeah,
but he's 40.
Yeah, the hard thing for LeBron is that the only way that would happen is if he did it in the offseason. And then everybody's going to know. And then he's not going to be as good as he was. And so he's retiring, just kind of limping up to the finish line.
So shouldn't he just say next week, hey, I'm out, by the way. I'm good. I had a hell of a career. 22 years, whatever it is, 21 years, 22 years.
He doesn't need to play again.
He doesn't, and I think the retirement tour, and a lot of guys have done it. Like Kobe did it. D-Wade did it. I mean, everybody, I get it.
Yeah, and they're shells of themselves.
They're shells of themselves, and it's also like, by the end, it's obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, I got it. You had a great career. See you later.
Right.
I would almost love, out of respect to LeBron, to have him next month just say, I'm out.
Mm.
I spoke to my family. I'm good. I played with my son, which was a big deal. I won a lot of championships. Look, you guys don't think I'm better than Michael. Fine. Yeah, that's not changing anything I do the next year or two anyway. Right.
And who cares?
Right. You got bozos on TV.
My buddy Craig Carton.
Saying he's gone down in NBA history because of what's happened the last couple years. And by the way, I love Craig. He has every right to say that. Like, that's what happens. It's the beauty, in a way, of what you did, of what Barry Sanders did, of what Sandy Koufax did, where you never struggle at the end of your careers for people to say, yeah, you know what? I'm moving Barry Sanders and Tiki Barber down a few slots.
Right. Nobody sees you being bad.
Right. Or being not as good as you used to be.
Yeah. You're
so
you go out being as a great.
I kind of want LeBron to retire. That's where I'm at.
Keep wanting, because it's not going to happen.
This is not going to happen?
I just don't think it's happening.
No, he wants there. He wants the surfboards, the flat screen TVs. He wants the MSG crowd coming to their feet, waving by.
Are you guys going to do that?
You guys? Now it's you guys?
No, I'm talking to like Knick fans. Like, would you guys get, you're not going to do that.
Of course they will.
Of course we are.
Just out of respect for his greatness?
Out of respect for his greatness. And it's like you're going to the Garden. Yes, you're going there to watch the Knicks, but you're going there for great theater. And we do this with Steph. We did it with Jordan. We'll do it with LeBron. They'll do it. Spike will do it. He'll be, you know, slapping five with him.
Am I going to do it? Like, I lost to him in the playoffs. Have I lost more than you? I mean, maybe.
No.
Yeah, one, two. Only twice, right? Miami.
And the Cleveland.
And the Cleveland 1-07. Is that it? Those are my only two losses to LeBron?
Feels right, because there's been some Pistons.
And what are your losses? You only have one loss to LeBron, and that one didn't even count. You just got killed. So I've lost to LeBron more than you. I don't think I'm giving him a standing ovation.
Well, you're not, because you're going to be a good guy and sell both of those games as ticket holders and probably make up the whole season's worth out of it.
Right. Is that what I'm going
to
do?
Right. By the way, Sean was lying to you.
What?
Juan Soto hit two home runs against Chicago White Sox. You got that right. On 5/18. May 18th. They won that game 6-1 the night before the New York Knicks lost in game 6.
Yeah, it was May 17th. You got it off by then.
To the Indianapolis.
So within 24 hours.
Yeah, you're a carny sleight of hand.
Within 24 hours. But the home run happened after. That's all I'm saying.
So the Knicks lost to the Pacers, yes. And then the next day, Soto hit two home runs.
Yes. Yeah, he made everybody feel better.
So zero correlation.
The Nick Met fan, he made feel much better. I mean, a Yankee fan, he made feel much better.
I was close, though, T.
Sean,
T, next time you don't have to double check that.
Always fact check.
I just knew you were trolling.
When I give stats.
Your trolls are easy to diagnose.
Yeah, because he makes it up.
Sean, Evan fakes enthusiasm pretty well. John Gruden would love you.
Did I see there was one day difference and think nobody would pick up on it? Yes. But still, one day difference between a Knicks game 6 up 3-2,
you know,
and
I'm
a Sutter
2-home
run
guy.
Game. But
as, soon as there's doubt, there will be no doubt.
But that's a pretty close correlation.
Except for Juan Soto hit the home runs after.
Yeah.
Potato.
Your attempt.
If it was like 2 days before, maybe.
No! It has to be the same day. It wasn't the same day.
Well, I can't control that.
But yeah, you can. And it's not a real stat. It's not a real thing.
And by the way, Juan Soto also never hit multiple home runs with the Yankees and lost the game.
How many times did he hit multiple home runs with the Yankees last year?
Four.
Four times, and they're 4-0 in those games.
Yes.
How about that?
Wow. Oh, jeez.
we're off to a great start. Let's go to Corey in Islip. Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hope you guys are having a good day.
What's up?
Yeah, so quick thing. I just want to say before I get into my point, Tiki, really appreciate it as well. A long time ago here, probably 20 years ago, you did sign my football card. You met my parents out in Vegas.
Oh, nice.
When you're at the Hard Rock. So I do want to say I appreciate that. But getting to the point here, I'm an optimistic fan here with the Mets. I do have some questions on Mendy's thoughts, and I wanted to ask you guys whether it be one or two things. Because the game yesterday, I do kind of believe that we punted that game by not putting Diaz in the ninth, you know, letting the guy from Syracuse rock for two innings. It was really questionable. And then today, again, we don't put him in, and it makes me wonder, one, are we hiding this guy for maybe an injury that's happening? Or are we just not managing the bullpen to the best potential that we have, which there is a lack thereof?
Since
we have some injuries.
Yeah, I think you hit on the second one. Like, I would have thought Diaz is hurt, but because he warmed up on both occasions, he was clearly available to come in. And what Mendy has said, here's the thing I love about Mendy. I disagree with him vehemently about his managerial decisions over the last 2 days, but I think he's been very upfront about it.
Yeah.
Which is, hey, we're down by a run. We don't have off days for a while. It's April. I'm managing 162. I don't want to chase wins.
Mm-hmm.
So I disagree with him because my attitude would be if I'm down a run and I got my big hitters coming up, I don't think I'm chasing a win. I think I'm using one of my better relievers, risking he may not be available the day after to give myself a chance to win in the moment. Doesn't mean I'm going to be irresponsible the next day or the day after. I'm not going to pitch Diaz 3 days in a row.
But I think he's being smart because of the cushion that they've given themselves, like all the winning that they had over the last month in a row, in a sense. It gives them some cushion that he doesn't have to chase winning, right? And so,
but I don't think it's chasing winning. I disagree with that phrasing he used. I think it's saying, hey, I'm down by a run. My best pitcher hasn't pitched in a few days. I may not have to use him tomorrow or the day after because I can't predict the future. I'm probably not getting another scoreless inning out of a guy like Chris Devinsky, who's been a minor leaguer for the last few years. Let me use my best pitcher to keep the game close. I think today's situation was a little bit more complicated because he had one of his better pitchers in Reed Garrett. And he just made the decision to try to get a second inning out of him. Last night, to me, was worse. Chris Devinsky? I mean, come on. You really think you're getting a second scoreless inning out of him?
Probably not.
When you have a Garrett or Diaz you can go to?
But I think he also thinks about this offense is not striking right now.
That's not the reason he's doing it, though.
You have to manage it all, or you have to at least think about it all. And so I think he wanted to try to get a lead and try to get, or at least tie, and then put Edwin Diaz in. And then when it didn't happen, you know, he just sat him down.
Yeah, I disagree with it. I mean, this has been a couple of days. I love Mendy, but I do not like the way he's handled the bullpen the last couple of days. Now, with that said, they've lost because they haven't hit.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost because they've left small countries in big spots on base. Not that they had a million opportunities today, but when you have second and third, one out, down by a run in the eighth inning, tie the game up.
Right.
Mark Vientos didn't make any contact. So Mendy isn't the main reason why they've lost, but I have disagreed with some of the managerial decisions he's made the last couple days. Let's go to Mike in Clifton Park. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. So, you know, I am a Knicks fan, and let me vent. I really look forward to a clunky offense tonight. watching Tibbs not use his bench, even though we do have talent there. Watching Jalen Brunson fall down and flop like a fish. And in terms of all these close games that he's captain clutch, how about we're in too many close games? I mean, you know, if we shouldn't be in this many close games. That's why he's captain clutch. You know, so if we play poorly and win, it's going to feel bad, you know? So I'm not feeling really good. So if you guys can boost my spirits, I would really appreciate it.
I'll boost your spirits by saying this. I think that we are due to see the Knicks' talent completely outclass the Pistons tonight, where you will get what you want, where it isn't a close game. And we haven't seen that yet, other than the 21-0 run in game one, where it was a close game, and then all of a sudden they kind of pushed it away late. But I get your point. I think we have a chance to see it. You know, if we see Karl Anthony Towns at his best, which we saw in game three and four, if we see OG Anunoby, who's been a demon defensively, I don't think he gets enough credit for how well he's played in this series. If we see the quality 18 minutes from Mitchell Robinson, like we saw the other night, killing on the offensive glass, then I think it's possible you may get that complete effort that we haven't seen yet, where they blow a team like the Pistons out. And I do agree with him that if that happened, I think the confidence of the Knicks fan would be much higher going into the next round.
Hopefully. I don't trust it, though.
Well,
until
so
I see it.
You're so negative.
I'm not negative. I tell you what I see.
We had a caller earlier
tell
in the show.
Tell you what I've consistently seen.
We had a caller earlier in the show that accused Tiki Barber of being a secret member of the Coalition of Knick Haters. Like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's going to rip off a shirt and it's going to say Coalition on it. Like, he's joined the NWO in 1997.